Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the RPM subteam for trademark claims data review call held on Wednesday, the 5th of June, 2019 at 1700 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Julie Hedlund. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Andrea. And this is Julie Hedlund from staff. I'll just very briefly run through the agenda. We'll also then I'll turn it over to Ariel for a very brief mention of the timeline and work plan. And then we'll move to item three. So first is the statements of interest. Second item is the timeline and work plan. Third item is discussing proposed answers and preliminary recommendations for question four. And item four is any other business. May I ask if anyone has any other business? Seeing no hands, I'll go back up to agenda item one and ask if anyone has updates to their statements of interest. Seeing no hands, I'm going to turn over to Ariel for a very brief mention of our timeline and work plan. Ariel, please.
Thanks, Julie. This is Ariel from staff. We have two more meetings before ICANN 65, that's including today's meeting. Today's meeting is trying to finish the discussion of Q4 by reviewing the proposed answers, preliminary recommendations, and also the extensive input from the subteam. And pending today's progress, if the subteam can finish Q4, then the next meeting staff plan to share the updated status check table that includes the new text that incorporates all the input received during the meeting and on the discussion threads. So that's the plan for next meeting, but that's pending today's completion. That's all the update I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ariel. And this is Julie Hedlund again from staff. And may I ask, whose number is the number that just joined ending in 232?
That's me, Brian.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. So just to switch to then the next agenda item, which is the discussion of the answers and preliminary recommendations for question four. The co-chairs have a suggestion for how to proceed today. As you all know, there is a Google Doc that has now been closed out as of COB on Monday with quite a number of edits and comments. A number of these focus on background discussion and arguments in addition to suggested language for proposed answers to the charter questions and sub-questions, and also for preliminary recommendations. The co-chair's suggestion, however, for today's meeting is that we use as the main document of discussion the status check document rather than the Google Doc. The Google Doc is quite difficult to read. It's got a lot of markups. We can absolutely reference it, and we certainly encourage those who commented in the document to summarize their comments as they suggest language to the proposed answers to charter questions and preliminary recommendations. But we'd like to suggest that that the subteam focus on the language in the status check document, and in particular the answers to the questions and sub-questions in question four and preliminary recommendations. And let me ask if there are any questions concerning that approach. I'm not seeing any hands raised. So Ariel, let me ask you to go ahead and put up the status check document, and there's also a link, a PDF of it in the chat room. And also we can give you a link to the Google Doc for background if you would like to be viewing it. And as Ariel notes, the Google Doc has been switched back to suggesting mode, so you'll be able to see the red lines in it as well. Thank you, and with this, let me go ahead and turn things over to Martin. Martin, please.
Hi, I hope you can all hear me well. Thank you very much, Julie, for the introduction. As Julie mentioned, the idea today is to try to go through the text again of the question four and try to sort out exactly what specific wording could be useful towards an agreement. That's why we thought that it would be better to go back to the actual text and not try to surf the comments, especially if we could have the commenters on the call. I see we have Kathy and a few others. I'm not seeing Christine. In any case, of course, that Christine comments are going to be taken account, but if Christine was here, it would be easier to maybe canalize the debates of her concerns. In any case, it's okay. Christine is not here, but her comments are in the document, and that's what counts. We're going to do this. We're going to go read each answers to each sub-item of the question four. We're going to try to see if we have specific comments or someone wants to add something besides what they said on the document, on their comments. And let's see if we can find some common ground, especially because staff is going to try to put things together, and the more angles they can have of these concerns is going to be easier for them to understand what is our actual concern, or maybe to propose words that will come together with both positions and better. Worst case scenario, and staff can correct me here, if we don't get an agreement on question four is going to go forward to the working group saying the subgroup couldn't come to an agreement. This is the background documents of it. This is the debate. So it's not that we are wasting our time. We are giving the full working group at least something to mumble so that they can come to a more full group agreement once there. This is also something to take in mind. Even if the full working group cannot come to an agreement on this specific answer, in that moment, probably it would be something closer to consensus, but I know maybe that's not the mechanism yet to be talking about. We still have a public comment period where we can say, okay, the working group cannot come to an agreement on this answer, and we can ask the public comment to give us some specific feedback, so afterwards we can have a last shot at this. This is just so you know, because it would be also useful to think in these answers, if we are not getting to an agreement, what sort of questions we would like to have for the public comment period, just as part of the work that could be useful for the whole working group to have regarding this matter. So let's start with this. We have question four. Is exact match requirement for trademark claims serving the intended purposes of the trademark claims RPM? In conducting this analysis, recall that IDMs and Latin-based words with accents and umlauts are currently not serviced or recognized by many registries. And the proposed answer for the general question is that the subteam has different opinions on whether the exact match requirement is serving the intended purposes of the trademark claims RPMs. If we don't get to an agreement, that's sort of what will go forward, and something that is just logical. If we don't get to an agreement, status quo remains. It means that we're not going to be able to propose a change to the actual policy. Let's start with question one. I don't think that anyone will challenge that we are not in agreement. Q4A, what is the evidence of harm under the existing system? Proposed answer. The subteam has different opinions on whether there is evidence of harm under the existing system of exact match. Some subteam members believe that the existing system does not have a clear deterrence effect against registration of confusingly similar matches, including typo squad variants and exact trademark plus word domains names application. They believe that this system harms trademark owners' ability to protect their trademarks in a cost-effective manner and increase their curative mechanism burden after the harm has already taken place, especially the harm from cyber squatters. They also believe it harms the prospective registrants who may be unaware that some non-exact matches can be actionable under trademark law or dispute resolution mechanisms for trademark infringement. One sub-team member does not believe there's evidence of harm under the existing system, but that nevertheless, the exact match requirements for trademark claims already harms registrants. I don't want to comment on my own behalf on this, so I'm gonna open the queue in case someone has something else to offer besides what they can summarize their opinion that they put in the homework better. But if you have something extra to say, please come forward as well. I see you have Rebecca Tashnet first in the line. Rebecca, floor is yours.
Rebecca Tashnet, thank you. So I think since Christine is not here, I actually come around to her position on this, which is that it's not clear that it's helpful for us to state a bunch of contradictory positions, and that's not our answer. As of course you see in the Google Doc, the description that you have in this version, I think is not representative in characterizing it as some members versus one member of the subteam. And so if we kept that, I would have a lot to say, but it seems to me perhaps better to say, we didn't agree. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. This is Martin Silva for the record. Kati Kleiman is next on the queue. Kati.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Martin?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Always good to test first time. Hi, everybody. Hope your summer's going well so far. So I agree with Rebecca, but also I'm a little concerned because I'm looking at the underlying document and two major paragraphs have not been included in this proposed answer. So if we're going forward to the proposed answer, I'll just read you a little bit of it, Martin. So these are edited back and forth. You'll see Christine and Rebecca and probably me were editing it. And so the beginning of one of the second paragraphs is other subteam members believed it relevant that none of the subteam members in the paragraph above identified specific data, e.g. surveys or studies that showed harm, and argued that day-to-day experience should not be considered data. Further, they pointed out that the exact match requirement for trademark claims already potentially harms some applicants by potentially discouraging the registration of trademark words that may have non-trademark uses and be an otherwise legal usage. There's a lot of material. I don't understand what was taken and what wasn't, but there's kind of heavily developed and edited additional material, two large paragraphs that belong here as well, that have the other side. So if we're going to go both sides, I think we have to include that. But if we're going to go not have this discussion, then I guess we don't need it. Thanks, Martin.
Hey, Martin, this is Julie Hedlund. May I comment briefly?
Of course.
So thank you very much for that, Kathy. And one thing that we should have explained at the beginning of the call is that it's the co-chair's suggestion that the detailed discussion on deliberations not be included in the status check document. And so even the, first of all, noting that this is a version from 17 May, so it is not an up-to-date version. It's not reflective of the material that's in the Google Doc. And in fact, also that means that the description of that you see there that says sub-team members say this and so on and so forth is also not up to date and should be discarded. It does not reflect the latest information that's in the Google Doc. And staff did not feel that it was helpful to try to summarize what's in the Google Doc and bring it into this document since it's very succinctly stated in the Google Doc and can be captured there. So that will be the background, so to speak, for this document. And so we suggest that you focus simply on the proposed answer text as opposed to the a summary of deliberations or discussions, which is not up to date in the status doc. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Julie. Tati, is that a new hand or an old hand?
It is a new hand.
Perfect, Kathy, you have the floor.
Help, I'm confused because again, the proposed answer in the, so Julie, I appreciate the answer, but as a participant and as someone who's now been in the Google Doc a lot with Christine going back and forth. So I don't understand, the proposed answer here is still only a partial answer of what is in the Google Doc. So are we deleting this second paragraph starting subteam members, or are we adding two more paragraphs that start similarly, some subteam members, and give both sides of the discussion? Martin, that may be a question for you.
Martin, if I may.
I think it's more a question for.
Yeah, Martin, if I may, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. And sorry, not to be clear. So what we're suggesting is that the subteam members focus on what they think is the proposed answer, not what is in this document, which is not up to date, not the second paragraph where it is a summary of what was the discussion at the time of the 17th of May, but to suggest an answer to the proposed answer based on the discussions you've had in the Google Doc. Staff was reluctant to take and try to summarize that discussion and try to extract an answer based on that discussion into this document because there were differing viewpoints. We felt we could not do that. We're asking if those who commented on the Google Doc could work together to answer to suggest a proposed answer, so the language that you think should be there that would replace what's there now, unless you think what is there now is correct. I hope that's clear, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Julie, for the clarification. Kathy, is that okay, or you want to re-ask something?
Interesting. I'd love to hear what Christine thinks and Rebecca, you know, everybody who's worked on the Google Doc, because it's hard to envision language. I mean, we worked hard on that language. Thanks. I'll listen.
Thank you, Kathy. And it's okay. I mean, the idea is we didn't want to work directly in that document because the amount of edits and colors and inputs is so raw that it would be just sort of confusing for everyone, even for the people that made a comment to maybe follow a discussion up to it. So maybe a blank page was something more fresh to start commenting, but you can use that document to summarize or to guide yourself to what you had in mind. If it's more useful for the members to have that document up, we can bring it up. It's just a matter of how you feel more comfortable with. Christine, you are next in the queue. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks everyone. This is Christine, and again, I apologize for being late and may have jumped in right kind of in the middle of this, so I apologize if I'm restating things that have already been said. We're doing a couple things here. One of them is blowing through the questions and answering them. In this particular instance, and the way I kind of like went through the Google Doc was to say question, answer. In this case, I'm referring to the Google Doc. I'm actually reading from it right now. The answer is the subteam has differing opinions on whether there is evidence of harm under the existing system of exact match, period. That is the only answer we have at this point. Everything under that is a back and forth debate. Now, it's my personal view that the debate doesn't belong anywhere in the document because it's just everyone in the community has capable of forming their own thoughts is unlikely to learn much from our back and forth, like sort of whinging at one another. And it's just, they're not going to read it. It's walls and walls of text. You know, we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of pages. People are going to skim that. So we need to have question, answer. To the extent that we don't have an answer because we don't agree, we have to say we don't have an answer, we don't agree. And then we have to follow that up with an ask. And the ask, and this is at the very bottom of the Google Doc, which I apologize for, because not the Google Doc, but just Q4A. is like, I observed that we literally have a full page of rambly, like nonsensical text of where I have my opinion and other people have their opinions. And we don't even have a call out. Why did we ramble? Like, what are we asking the community to do? So in my opinion, we need to have question, short answer, yes, no, if possible, or one sentence or two sentences of what the answer is. And if the answer is we don't agree, we have to say we don't agree. And then the follow-up. Because we don't agree, we need X. That is our response. I personally don't think the discussion or a heavy discussion belongs in the stock. I'm willing to concede I might lose that argument. I'm still fighting it, but I'm willing to concede it. In which case, that's, you know, that's why there's that discussion section that I think should be refined, because if nothing else, it helps us refine how we think and might help us come to some sort of a resolution. When looking at the subpro procedures initial report, and they basically have sort of a deliberation section where they talk about key issues and points of view, where somebody sort of summarizes as neutrally as possible. Some people believe this, some people believe that. But you can skip all that. You can literally go just to the questions and the answers. And then where there's proposals, there's a benefits and drawbacks section. So I think we've got multiple things going here. Some of us are working ahead on sort of this discussion section. Some people are thinking about the questions and answers, but I don't think they should be intermingled. And maybe part of the problem is the fact that we're looking at sort of one combined doc that doesn't clearly differentiate those sections. That's my thought. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Christine. Of course, I cannot speak for the whole chairs, staff, especially because we are a subgroup. We also try to coordinate with other people. Yes, I mean, I understand your point of having a separate discussion on what the debate is and a separate one for what the actual wording is. I think in this case, we have the debate because we don't have a text, or at least we don't have an agreement text. We have just a text that says we don't agree. So having the debate there is, at least in this preliminary draft stage, is maybe a way to help us understand what things are not being agreed on. So I don't think specifically at this stage, at least, is something problematic. I could agree with you for the final wording going ahead to the working group. In that case, of course, yes, if we don't have an actual proposal, then just opinions are not something we can move forward with. And they will be recorded as well. I mean, it's not just one sentence that is going forward. The whole documents are going forward for everyone to review why we didn't agree on. But I think I get what you say, and I cannot give you a proper answer to that without actually going back to the chairs and discussing that. So far as now, again, I encourage you to summarize for us, for everyone, what your opinion is on these questions, and maybe you can find something new that is wasn't there when you were trying to debate through the Google Docs, that you can debate in this oral way. Thank you very much. And we do appreciate, of course, everyone's opinion on a better way to handle this, because again, there's no process, obvious process here. It's just process we are trying to create and improve. Rebecca Teschnet, you are next.
Rebecca Teschnet, thank you. So I agree with basically 90% of what Christine said. It seems to me completely reasonable to say we couldn't agree that that's where we are. I think it's actually biased and misleading to say, therefore, we need to collect more data on this specific thing where there's one constituency that wanted more. I don't think that's consistent with the rest of the document or the rest of the treatment. And I don't think we're really ready for another data gathering exercise that would kind of negate the past year of work. So while I completely actually support Christine's suggestion to make it short and sweet, therefore we have these questions for you seems to be completely inappropriate. Thank you.
I think Christine is trying to answer to you through the chat. Rebecca, I don't think we need to ask for that at all, but we are soliciting comments and input, so we need to be clear about the type of input we want. I have Greg Shadden next in the queue. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I tend to agree with Christine that all this back and forth doesn't belong, in the answer section of the document. And as far as the sub-team goes, I don't think this is our initial draft. This is our only draft, as far as I'm concerned. And it may turn into the initial draft or the preliminary report when sent out by the full working group. But as far as what we're doing, I think after this we're done. And so therefore, I think the idea that we're going to put in the whole deliberation in as a substitute for an answer is one that I would disagree with. I think we can, again, you can reflect it somewhere in the deliberations or the records of what we're doing and don't have to lose it completely. But right now we just have kind of a back and forth and, we're trying to poke holes in other people's arguments. And there's probably, as bad as it is now, it could probably get three times worse. And you really have to reflect all the marginal comments as well as the changes in the text if you want a full sense of who's saying what about what. And so I actually think it's more of a boxing match than it is an answer to a question. So I don't know quite how useful it is. It's certainly not useful as an answer. If we could try to find an answer, then we could find an answer. But I think the only answer we have is that we can't agree on an answer. And if there is any input that we think we could get that would help us come to an answer, then we should ask for that. I don't think it's inappropriate to ask in a request for public comment to make a request that's more specific than please comment on our lack of an answer. So if we have something that we think would ask, and, if there's one constituency that, quote-unquote, wants more and there's one constituency that, quote-unquote, wants less, well, that's clearly where we are, generally speaking, anyway, that there's some disagreement among units. So either way, if there's information, I'm not going to call it data, that, to my mind, that term is starting to be a weapon rather than a useful tool. Then we should try to get the information that would help us. If there's no information that would help us and we can't, and we're just permanently stuck in our initial position, then I think we've probably collectively violated the rules of behavior in the sense that we're supposed to try to get toward consensus and consider other people's positions and look beyond ourselves. And I'm not saying that I'm any less guilty than the next person of that, but somehow we have to figure out if there's any way that the multi-stakeholder model and desire for consensus can get us out of our current state of paralysis. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. I don't know if it's to call it a state of paralysis per se, but I understand your point. Thank you very much for the words. I was supposed to try to get you guys to talk specifically about your possible answer, even if there was a better wording for this. So far, all I'm getting is that we should be fine with, we are not agreeing, we should not include the debate, and that's it. You don't have a specific wording that could potentially bring the positions closer. Just to be sure you guys are on track with the goal of this goal. Besides, of course, useful comments on all the other things. Philip Corwin, you're next.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. And I'm speaking in a personal capacity. I agree mostly with what Christine just said. When we issue an initial report, I'm not sure that the proposed answer should just be one sentence, that we couldn't agree, that we had a variety of opinions. I think it'd be useful, but I think the answer should be as short as possible. just really hitting the high points of what factors were discussed, you know, by members of the sub-team. I mean, we've got the infamous 94% non-complete statistic, but we have a complete disagreement on whether that's significant or what it means. So I think for a record of what we looked at and for the purpose of any future review, if there is one of these RPMs, it'd be useful to have some document that has more than a single sentence. But I don't think even for those historic purposes, having a long multi-paragraph answer is particularly useful, or that debating each of those paragraphs is a very useful, productive use of our time. What we're going to be asking the community to comment on are recommendations, preliminary recommendations. Is there support, opposition, or suggestions for modifying them? That's the main purpose of the initial report. The rest is just background information. And so where we had a specific proposal for a expansion of the matching criteria, such as Claudio's span the dot, it ought to be mentioned. But if we don't have a recommendation, and we don't have a recommendation for expanding the exact match requirement that got strong support, that's pretty much the end of it for the community comment purposes. So I think our proposed answer should be short, useful for historic review and understanding the process, but not paragraph after paragraph that are not going to be looked at by the community when we put out the report. Nobody's going to comment saying, oh, I think your proposed answer to question 4A should be modified. People are going to comment on the recommendations we put out, and that's what our main focus should be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Philip, and I agree with you. Christine, you're next in the queue.
No, thanks. I'm sorry. I'm going to lower my hand because I've said everything in the chat. Thanks.
Okay. Staff does it anyway, but please do check this, the chat. I've been reading it also.
Martin, did you just call on me? This is Kathy.
You had your hand up. Is that
yes.
An old hand?
No, it's a new hand. I just...
Yes, go ahead.
Must have been noise online. Okay, so this is Kathy, and speaking in my individual capacity, of course, and I'm going to disagree. This is not overtime in a sports game where we're resetting the clock, and I feel that's what happens if we destroy the discussion. And also, it's hard, Martin, to come up with language on the fly, especially if that's not what we knew we were supposed to be doing, and I don't think we did. There's a document, and there's a discussion section. Christine added long parts to it that are very valuable. They have now been commented on and edited by, you know, to reflect kind of the full range of opinion. The ICANN community is very diverse. We are speaking in this initial report, not just to the IPC, but of course to the non-commercial community, to registries and registrars. We have an extensive discussion where we lay out what we have found, what we haven't found, what we think of what we found, what we haven't. You may call it an extensive discussion, but it's really just a few paragraphs that very tightly summarize several years of work, the work that we did before the URS and the work that we've done now. I think we should be looking at it because I think that's what's really before us. The conclusion is that we don't have, but if we're going to put out questions, then yes, we have to give them the discussion because that's the background of where we've come. We're not resetting the clock and we don't start with a clean slate. We've got material to share with them. We've done a lot of work in this area. I think we have to include the discussion topics. And I think, we're looking at the wrong document. We should be looking at the PDF that was circulated with all the edits. Thanks.
Thank you,
Martin,
very much.
This is from staff, yeah. If I quickly comment on that. I think there might be a slight need for clarification here for Phil and Kathy's comments. What you see here is what we're calling the status check document, but will just be a very high level document that will go to just the working group, the full working group, to have the proposed answers, preliminary recommendations, and the case where we identify them, suggested questions that would be included in the initial report for community comment, really only when there's not been any preliminary recommendation. So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. This is not the initial report. The initial report has a deliberation section, and Kathy, to your point, all of the deliberations will be included there for context. Very much exactly the same as the subpro, the format of the subpro initial report, which Christine has put into a link. So that would be the format. So none of the deliberations are lost, and in fact, it's important, and I think part of the transparency to include them and also to reference transcripts and wikis and so on. So that will be there for context for this document. The idea is to just give the answers and the preliminary recommendations and possible questions for the working group to consider. So this is not the initial report, and that's why we're suggesting that this not contain all of the deliberations and discussions, but those can be linked for working group reference in the summary document. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question, Martin?
Yes, of course.
So, Julie, this is Kathy. So let me double check. Are we talking about appendices, or are we talking about, it's hard to visualize what's not in front of us. I remember the pro-initial report, there was a background, there was kind of a question or a topic, a background section, and then questions, specific questions. So you're saying that the discussion is developed in the PDF, I'll call it the PDF, will be under deliberations and then be immediately followed by our recommendations and any follow-up questions?
Thank you. Kathy, it's Julie Hedlund from staff. And staff has brought up the initial report for the subpro. So you can see that there's a deliberation section. And then if you want to scroll down. The way the format is for the subpro, and we'll follow the same format, is actually the recommendations are at the top. And then there's questions, and then I think there's deliberations. So all of these follow one after the other. So the context should be pretty easy to follow. It did seem to be a good format for subpro. So, and it is actually a template, in fact, that we use for initial reports. So it's not something that we made up necessarily for subpro either. I hope that's helpful.
Kathy, was it helpful?
Thank you, Kathy. I see your thanks in the chat.
Thanks, George.
Thank you very much, both. I have Cynthia next on the line. I do would like to remind you that we had the goal of trying to get all the comments we could on question 4. So I'm not even going to ask you to wait until question A, B, or C, or D. If you have a comment on question 4 that will help us move forward to an actual text based on the debate we had on the Google Doc, please speak now. It would be very, very useful. And don't let yourself get railed away with another debate. That's also what's being debated here. Thank you. Cynthia, you're next.
Hi, I'm going to be really quick. I pulled up the Google Doc the last couple of days in order to review it for the homework and whatnot. And I was really struck when I first took a look at it at how bickerish. I'm not sure if that's a word, but it sounded very bickery. So I for one, would really like for us to have something that's a little bit more professional. And we all know what that is because we've all had to take differing points of view and combine that into some kind of a report. And then speaking of the document itself, what staff has pulled up seems eminently reasonable. Most reports that would go out to a professional organization would have an executive summary, which should be what we're doing right now, the executive summary, and then the rest of the information, all of the debate and the major issues captured in the detail below. But we should really be cognizant of the fact that we are producing a professional report that goes out to folks, and we should be producing recommendations, and then we should be asking people succinctly for their input. And then if people want to dig down into what we've already discussed so that they're not covering new ground or whatever, they can go down and they can dig into the report. But there should be an executive summary that doesn't sound like there are two or three groups of people that were just bickering back and forth. You know, this person said that, this group had a differing thought. You can easily say something like, one point of view was this, another point that was brought up was this. It doesn't have to sound like we are endlessly bickering. So I suggest that we take a more neutral tone. I agree with Rebecca that all of this should be more neutral, and that we build the executive summary, understanding that all of the detail is going to be contained in the body of the report per staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. I think at least for what I heard so far, what you said is absolutely agreeable. Christine, you're next on the queue.
Thanks. This is Christine. Ariel, can you go to page 13, please? So I think we're coming to the point I've been trying to make, and apparently very inartfully, and I apologize for that. And Cynthia's comment, and I do agree that we need a professional executive summary. I think the difference is we can't write a summary unless we know what we're summarizing. And so it's kind of to Kathy's point, the discussion, the bickering, the whinging, whatever we want to call it, it is serving a function as long as it doesn't make its way into the doc as written, right? But if you look at the bottom of page 13, if you see the subpro did not have a group of sort of Q&A charter questions to answer, it started with recommendations. So what are our recommendations? And they come with, if you look at the bottom of 13, what's the relevant policy or implementation guidance, and then scroll to the top of page 15. How was it implemented? Those things may or may not be relevant for us, but that would be a place to put the background. And then what is our recommendation? Our recommendation could be, I'm going to throw this out there, we don't have to debate it, but the recommendation is the claims service does not appear to be, or there's disagreement about whether or not it's causing any harm, so we're going to recommend it's the status quo. Or maybe the recommendation is the status quo because there doesn't appear to be harm, or the people don't think there's enough data to support that, or whatever the recommendation is. Or if there's going to be a change, we recommend a change for the following reason. What are the options? Excluding associated benefits and drawbacks. And then what specific questions are the PDP working group seeking feedback on? And that would be sort of like if you scroll to the bottom of the Google Doc, actually, and Ariel, you don't have to do that now. But basically, that's where we talk about, there are some benefits and drawbacks. There's like a little table talking about, well, we're not sure, and here are some pluses and minuses. And then that's what happens when you're writing the comment as a stakeholder group, you stop at C and E, and you write, okay, for 221 C1 answer, for 221 E1 answer. And you might look at the deliberation section, or you might not, but it's going to be worded by staff to hopefully be very neutral and collect everybody's opinion. But we're still developing what we would call our C and E, is what my understanding is. And the reason I'm saying all this is that I think, and of this group, some of us have in our head that we're writing C. Some of us have in our head that we're writing E. Some of us have in our head that we're writing F. And Ariel, if you can just show page 14 so that people know what I'm talking about with C, E, and F. And if we're not speaking the same language about what it is we're writing, then we're just never going to agree on what should go in the section. And so I know, Martin, that we have been sucking up this entire 47 minutes talking about this, but until we all agree on what section we're drafting and in what order to draft them, we're never going to get there. And for many of us, we have to hash out the deliberation details before we can get to the actual C and E, rather than trying to work on them all separately and work on like sort of the executive summary first or the answer first. We got to think about how we're going to get to the answer. And so I think that's where our problem is. And I don't know if identifying that as a problem is helpful to anybody, but it's always helpful to me to think about where is the disconnect. And I think this is our communication disconnect, is understanding what we're writing and in what order. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Christine. Of course, I agree with most of what you said. We will have to try to come with some sort of way that helps you to canalize correctly which things are being discussed specifically, and not have that all together in that amorphous way. Of course, I don't have a specific answer right now, but it's something we'll have to discuss later with chairs and staff to come with something slightly different. I have next Greg Shadden on the list. Please go.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. And Christine, I think that's very helpful. And to look at C, D, and F, and also E, specific questions, is really helpful in terms of thinking how we could be structuring our answers. You know, the problem is instead of being of having this kind of template, we're stuck with these questions, some of which are inartfully drafted. And then we have what we have so far here is, you know, at best it's F, deliberations. And I think what makes it seem so bickerish to adopt a new word, which I'll be trademarking shortly. The problem is it's not just it says, you know, some people say X and some people say Y. That's what is going on in the subpro document. It's then the people who said Y think the people who said X are full of stuff, and the people who said Y, you know, basically there's the counter arguments or the undercutting, and why the other argument is worthless or worthless, and that's really where the bickering comes in. I mean, we could, in essence, have each group state their own position, however outlandish it is, and then just try to edit it so maybe it's not quite stated in outlandish absolute terms, but maybe more relative terms, given that we, you know, are not functioning with perfect knowledge. But yeah, I think that having all of the you know, kind of the most you know, oppositional part of this in here is deliberation is really what kind of makes this you know, tough to read as a potential document for circulation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg, for the input. Again, as Christine, let us go back and try to figure out something that can put this together. Of course, we have only 5 minutes to the top of the hour. We're gonna get question four. Before I give you the floor, Kathy, let me just say that we're probably gonna have to see with staff if we have enough with question four. We're gonna need some time on the next call probably to go over it. The original idea was that in the next call, we were going to look at the status check in question 2 and 5. So we could finalize 2 and 5 in Marrakesh, but that's probably gonna have to change, especially if we're gonna have some document change in middle. Nothing, I'm just thinking out loud. Kathy, go ahead, we have 4 minutes to wrap up this.
Thanks, Martin. I will try not to use all of our 4 minutes. So this is Kathy. I will agree with Christine's call for C, D, and E. I'm now speaking with my hat on as a SubPro member. And I just want to note that SubPro issued its initial report much earlier in its process. We don't, and then they've taken back the answers and they're really percolating and sorting through it and working through them. We don't have that time. And so we really should be, for all the calls from Christine and others, to issue our initial reports. That's really what we're doing. Our initial report is really a traditionally timed initial report. We should be issuing our initial recommendations and then getting the feedback on them, because we're supposed to be wrapping up phase one shortly. So kind of different timing of the different reports. We should be kind of getting our CD&E language now. Agree with Christine. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We have 3 minutes more. Does anyone have any other comments? Staff may want to put a liner or something before we end.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was on mute, Martin. Sorry about that. There was no any other business that anyone suggested. We do need to wrap up to allow time for folks to transition to the next meeting. We'll have to consult with the subteam co-chairs as far as what will be on the schedule for next week's call, but we definitely have a call next week at the same time. And then we'll also be able, then following that call, we'll be able to advise you as to what we'll be doing at ICANN 65 as well. So if there's nothing further, I don't see any hands or anything further. Let me suggest then that we go ahead and adjourn this call, and we'll be back to you with some guidance as far as what we'll be doing on the next call. But likely we'll be looking at perhaps some further work on Q4 and now that we've had this helpful discussion on process. Thank you all. And thank you very much, Martin, for chairing.
Thank you very much, Julie, and thank you all. See you in the next call or in the next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.